All right, joining me now, well, before I go to these guys, I'm just going to mention it real quick. Leo Holman and Patrick Wood are going to join me in just a minute. Let me go ahead and mention this real quick, a couple things over on our store, on worldviewreport.com. It's our aggregated news site. Let me show it to you. Worldview Report, a lot of news stories are put up today. Here they are. Carrie Lake drops hammer. Fox News is a globalist network, wants to bring down our Constitution. I agree. Breaking, Carlson was told by a member of Fox, the Fox board, that he was taken off the air as part of the Dominion settlement per Tucker's legal team. That sounds about right. Biden trails Trump as his approval ratings hit low in ABC poll. New immigration bill is a Trojan horse for E-Verify and is a threat to all Americans. We'll touch on that here in just a minute. Tucker Carlson accuses Fox of fraud and contract breach. Chattanooga is one of two cities to join Smart City Alliance. We'll get into that. Another article, Chattanooga agrees to adapt World Economic Forum's Smart City Technology. Going to be a, I guess they're going to be a 15-minute city, folks. We'll get into that. Sent that to the guys to talk about tonight. Steve Cortez, who? You who? I don't know. I barely know who he is. But anyway, he announces he took national spokesman job. I guess that means money, according to this article, from DeSantis PAC, now supports Ron DeSantis. Good luck, Steve. Barely knew who you were. Now, don't even want to talk about you. The Great Reset, the control of the food supply and the control of people. Great article over at Lou Rockwell tonight. Well, that's what I was telling you guys when we did the series, The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset, 2 years ago. What did I give you? 7 or 8 Fs? Food, finances, firearms, family health care, right? Foreign invasion. Really? Foreign invasion. Yes, got to bring down the borders. Here we go. The Great Reset, folks, is about control of food. Now you know why we've been telling folks forever. Get your food. Food security. Food insurance. Let's go back here because I have another one related to food. Where did it go? Let's see. It was an article that was quoting. Here it is. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Robert Kiyosaki warns inflation is systemic, and investors should buy gold, real estate, gas, and food. Well, that's right. Yahoo News reports. And when he talks about food, he says food is also essential to the economy. In a tweet last year, he touted cans of tuna and baked beans as the, quote, best investments. And I remember him talking about that in the video. I saw it. So, yeah, he's talking about diversification, where to put your money to get through this. And, you know, things like gasoline, oil, but real estate, hard asset. But he's right about food. He's right about food. And that's, of course, that's exactly why you got Lou Rockwell writing up here about the Great Reset is about controlling people. And one way to do that is food. Well, that's why we encourage you to go right here, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. We're catching up quick. 120 some odd boxes went out today, I was told. So every day I'm monitoring it. We added in, we've added in like 4 or 5 new workers in the warehouse, right, Caleb?
Yes, sir.
So we're working fast. We offered you guys free shipping in February and March. You're being patient. Keep being patient because a lot of you saved hundreds of dollars by that free shipping that we ate. We had to absorb that cost. We got a tidal wave of orders. And we're catching up, and many of you, I've emailed you, our staff has emailed you, just saying, did you get your order, answering your questions, and Friday and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we got a lot of emails back. Oh, the order came Friday, the order came Saturday. So again, be patient, it's coming. Now, if anybody's tired of waiting and they want a refund, your order hasn't showed up and you want a refund, all you got to do is email us, and we'll gladly do that. We have more than enough people wanting our product that if you've gotten frustrated waiting 4 weeks or whatever, then we'll gladly refund you. Just let us know. But the bulk of you are 99.9% of you are being extremely patient because you realize this is a service we're offering. Many of you say, hey, we bought it because we need it, but we want to support what you're doing. So, but I always throw out that little disclaimer. We don't want anyone frustrated. I'm trying to be clear and upfront. If you order, you're going to wait a few weeks because of the demand. And so please be patient, but please order. But understand, we're being honest and upfront. You're going to have to wait a few weeks. But we're catching up quick. We've added, like you said, like 5 new people in the last week or two on to the warehouse staff. A lot of them got out of school. A lot of them are out of school now, right, Caleb? A lot of them are out of school now. Here in the Mid-South, school gets out early. So that means a lot of them now are working longer hour days because a lot of them are coming in after school. Now they don't have to. So be patient with us. It's moving quickly. It's moving quickly. And if you want to place an order, you can. WVWTVstore.com. You'll find 3 month, 6 month, emergency freeze-dried food. It tastes very good. We added this week something we've wanted to add for a long time. This distributor didn't even have them for 3 years. They just got them back. We're one of the few people they released them to. They had to go get special permission to allow us to sell these. And I'm not kidding. They had to go to the president of the company who said, and they said, Brandon House wants to offer the seed vault. And he knew who I was because of the volume we buy. And so he said, yeah, release them to him. So they had to get special permission because they were without these for 3 years. So the Survival Seed Vault 100% heirloom 20 varieties is back, okay? They are back, and you might want to secure those while you can. The potassium iodide tablets, 60 in a bottle, those, we got 3,000. We're burning through those fast. So, again, those are for any kind of, it's anti-radiation tablets to protect your thyroid. Of course, we have all kinds of other things as well, not just food, 3 months, 6 months, 2 year. We also, if you click emergency supplies, you will find that we have a 100-hour candles for emergency fuel bucket, 2 gallon, 5 gallon surgical kit. We just ordered up 75 more. Was it 75 of these we ordered up today, Caleb?
Yes, sir.
Caleb is in charge of
100.
How many? 100. Okay. Caleb's in charge of our warehouse. He oversees the guys, but he also works in our control room. He's my executive administrative assistant. I had to give him a nice title. Executive administrative assistant, and he oversees a lot of stuff for me. And so he oversees the warehouse guys, and he's the one that says, Mr. B, we got to order more of this. Mr. B, we need more of that. So yesterday, was that yesterday or today? That was today, wasn't it? It all blurs together. We got 100 more of these coming. Are they blue or are they red?
They're red,
so people don't complain that you got a blue one. You know, we've gotten a few people, I wanted a blue one, I got a red one. You know what? In this day and age, if you got one, you should be happy. Because when we called the company today to order those 100, they had to call us back. They're like, we don't have 100. I'm like, well, I need 100. Well, let us call you back. So they had to go call around, and they said, okay, we found the bags. Okay, we found all the content that goes in the bag. Okay, well, it's going to take us a day or two, but we'll build these kits for you. So we've got some, no doubt about it, but we needed more. So what I'm trying to tell you folks is you don't want to sit around and just think, oh, I'll get this all one day. Because I'm telling you, sometimes we have to beg and plead. Just like we had to have them go to the president of that company and say, Brandon's been begging for months for the heirloom seeds. And I have. And they finally got tired of me pestering them. So I go out there and I pester these vendors on your behalf and my behalf. So what I'm telling you is when we have something, yeah, I might want to get it because I can't guarantee you I can always go back and get it again. Or who knows what's going to happen with shipping and everything else. But anyway, it's all there, indoor, outdoor, stove, so much more. Check it out, WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. And you can also call, and it's only for orders, 901-468-9357. Folks, you have to understand if you've ever been in customer service what it's like. We get some crazy calls, and we have to say, is it a full moon out there tonight? And the other night it was. And sure enough, people calling and telling us all kinds of crazy stuff. It's like something out of a movie, some of these people. They seriously are, it's sad, some of them, their mental state. So be very patient and kind with my audience, or with my gal that answers the phone, which is generally my daughter, Libby, because she deals with a lot of very sweet, kind people. But I have heard some of the calls she deals with, and some of these people are, wow, they are out to lunch. And they're not even calling to order. They're just calling to tell her all of the things that we need to know. Like, you know, they have the inside track of what's happening. And they start talking, and, you know, they've been taken up to UFOs, and they've been experimented on, and you're like, oh, brother John. So anyway, any of you watching that have those kind of stories, that is not what that number is for. It is not to relay how you've been sexually molested by an alien in an aircraft somewhere. So please take those stories elsewhere. Just use that number for orders. 901-468-9357. I said, here's how you do it. Hello. That's how you do it, that hun. 901-468-9357. You started on your UFO and you've been molested story, and you might find click. 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. She said, can you, Dad, can you please tell them it's orders only? I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. 901-468-9357. Thankfully, 99.9999% of our audience is awesome, great, well-balanced, smart, cool people. But you should come and live in her cubicle for a few hours. Ooh, on a full moon, particularly. All right, joining me now is LeoHolman.com and Patrick Wood. Neither one of you have been hauled off by aliens and molested, have you?
Well, as a matter of fact.
I think our signal's fading. Oh, gosh. All right, welcome, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Yeah,
doing good.
Was that crazy what Todd Bismuth was reporting down there?
Yes, nuts. Absolutely insane.
Leo?
What can you say?
Leo,
my wife should have been impeached.
Yeah. Leo, you wrote a book called Stealth Invasion. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was all predicted in the book. I mean, it's just only worse than I actually ever imagined.
Yes. Wow. All right. Here's what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. Let's see here. I want to grab it. I emailed the article to you guys, or I texted it to you guys, then I emailed it to myself. Where did it go? There's so many emails that came in between now and then. I can't even find my own stinking emails. What was the title? Am I going to have to turn over email it to myself? What was the title of the article? You guys remember?
The Black Nobility.
Yeah, here it is. Thank you. All right, there we go. All right, so here it is from the expose. The Black Nobility, a New World Order, and Charles the Great Reset King. So I sent this to both of you today because I knew if anything that starts talking about the Club of Rome and eugenics and Prince Philip and him calling for a deadly virus to take out 90% of the population and the Committee of 300 and the Club of Rome and the Trilateral Commission, I know, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations, I know that that's right up your alley there. But unbeknownst to me, did I hear that Leo and you are already talking about this, Patrick?
Oops. I guess we have been. Yes, we did. You know, there's a lot to be said for this whole thing, and especially with the king just being whatever you do for kings, anointed and
coronation,
robed and... Yeah,
and the privacy screen. Did you see the privacy screen?
And the privacy screen where they took an oath that nobody could hear what he said, and with all of the druids around and their garb, and it's a very very strange coronation for sure.
Yeah. So what do you make? Yeah, Leo.
I was just gonna say, and then we had a parallel ceremony going on in Coventry, England, over the weekend of the coronation, where it was actually a coven of Gaia worshiping witches and pagans saying how much they appreciate Charles and how much he appreciates them. And it was just one big love fest between Charles and the pagans this weekend.
There's his article by Leo Holman. A coven of British witches and pagans pledged their allegiance to King Charles, claiming he's very pagan and supportive of their beliefs. Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, he has never denied any such thing. He's supposed to be the defender of the faith, but as you know, he has changed that. He changed that to the defender of faiths, which means all of them.
So there's a book out there called The Club of Rome. Dr. Coleman wrote that the British East India Company is known today as the Committee of 300, the most powerful and controlling body in the world. On page 29 of his book, Dr. Coleman stated that an important international foreign policy arm of the Committee of 300 is the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome represents the command structure of the Illuminati, he wrote. It's very easy to see the connecting link between the plans of the BEIC and the present policies of the Club of Rome. Quote, the modern Club of Rome is but an ongoing, unbroken succession of secret societies that have as their goal the destruction of liberty and freedom. That seems to be happening. It is a body dedicated to ushering in the New World Order, in which the so-called privileged few, the Committee of 300, will rule. According to the Illuminati and high priest of the Club of Rome, Willis Harmon, our Western ideals, belief in family, the sanctity of marriage, belief in one's country, national pride, national sovereignty, pride in our religious beliefs, pride of our race, our trust in an omnipotent God, and our Christian beliefs are all obsolete. Harmon believes that being so too successful springs from being too successful as an industrialized nation with full employment and a people enjoying a decent standard of living. Harmon meant that Americans, thanks to an industry-based society, were enjoying too much freedom, and this led to a position where there are just too many people who must therefore be corralled and culled so that the Club of Rome can curb industrial growth and therefore population growth. Co-founder of the Club of Rome, Mr. Pesci, gave the whole game plan away when he said, quote, since man opened the Pandora's box of new technology, has suffered uncontrollable human proliferation, the mania for growth, or the mania for growth, the energy crisis, actual potential scarcities, degradation of the environment, nuclear folly, and countless other afflictions, end quote. It was not long after his speech in 1965 that they adopted the World Dynamics model constructed by the Committee of 300 by Jay Forster and Dennis Meadows. Of course, we went on to read that book, you know, where they're talking about depopulating and the Club of Rome. We've showed that book the other night. You've actually read this book, correct? That book was The Limits of Growth. But you've actually read this book and had it in your library by this gentleman, Mr. Coleman, for some time. Have you not, Patrick?
Actually, probably going back into the 1990s. When it first came out, it did make kind of a splash, not necessarily in mainstream media, but in the alternative media world at that point, those people who were kind of, you know, given over to, you know, conspiracy theories and so on, they picked up on it quite rapidly. And it made the rounds. It kind of has not been making the rounds in the last 10 years or so, I would say. But now with the coronation of King Charles, you know, a lot of what he said is like being repeated and it's coming back to be played again.
And so, go ahead, Leo.
Well, I was just going to say the reason the book's premise is coming back is because the premise of the book was that Coleman was trying to postulate or theorize, and a lot of people didn't believe it at the time, but maybe some more people are latching onto it now, given the state of current events, was that there's a sort of elitist Atlantic-based cabal of Western bankers run out of London and Wall Street that basically control the world, use the U.S. military as their sort of hammer to enforce their the rest of the countries of the world into this post-World War II rules-based liberal order in which the U.S. dollar is, you know, the top of the heap in terms of its clout. And the U.S. military is used not to protect the defensive interests of the United States, but to promote and promulgate a sort of global rules-based order that would eventually evolve into a one-world government. And this U.S.-UK cabal has always had a hatred for Russia. They considered Russia to be anathema. You know, they funded the Bolsheviks to take down the royal family in Russia, and now we see flash forward another 75, 80 years, and what's happening? They're again going after Russia. So that's why a lot of people are, you know, latching back onto this book after it had been relegated to obscurity, as Patrick said, for about 10, 12 years.
So here's the title. It's in this book, at Exposé. But I guess it's available online for free. You text me a copy of it, Patrick. The Conspirators' Hierarchy, subtitled The Committee of 300, written in 1991. He names past and present members of the Committee of 300, as well as unsavory characters such as Henry Kissinger, Maurice Strong, who, of course, he's the one that gave us the Earth Summit in Rio with the UN, got to start with the Rockefellers, David Rockefeller, and members of the Rothschild family. Dr. Coleman's list include Queen Elizabeth II, Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Edward, Duke of Kent, and Prince Richard, Duke of Gloucester, amongst other aristocrats. According to Dr. Coleman, the Club of Rome is this black nobility. It's part of the Committee of 300. The black nobility consists of the richest and most ancient of all European families, their wealth far surpassing that of the Rockefellers. They're called black nobility because of their black deeds, their use of dirty tricks, murder, terrorism, unethical behavior, and worship of Satan. Does anyone want to comment before I go any further, Patrick?
Oh, boy. This kind of opens up a can of worms, I realize. But
in a good way or a bad way? I mean, why you say that?
Both. There is some good information, I think, and probably some verifiable information in Coleman's book. Actually, he's written several books. This was one of them, kind of the main book that people have latched onto the title, The Committee of 300, because it kind of crystallizes down, you know, a small group of people that are supposedly controlling everything. But the one difficulty with Coleman's work is that nothing in his book was footnoted. There's no footnotes whatsoever. So a lot of the information just simply is not verifiable. It's his word against anybody else's, whether it's true or not. Now, we do know from other research that we've done, Leo's done a lot too, but, you know, like what I used to do with Anthony Sutton, a lot of the information in his book is spot on. He could have gotten that information from anywhere, I suppose, but, you know, when you talk about the Club of Rome, and you talk about the Atlantic Council, and you talk about the Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies, et cetera, and the SRI, Stanford Research Institute, the RAND Corporation, all these organizations have an abundance of literature out there on what they're all about, you know, what they're doing, what their plans are, Club of Rome included. Nothing secret there. What he brings to the table is, or his theory is, that there's a continuous chain going back as many as 300 years of ultra-controlling families, a generational thing, if you will, families that are controlling all of the events in the world. This is generally speculative because there's very little proof of such a continuous connection for, say, 200 or 300 years. Professor Sutton and I did a pretty extensive study at one point about the Illuminati, for instance, which was in the late 1800s. And yes, it did exist. Yes, there's a body of information on it. It's very insightful. But is there evidence, clear evidence, that there has been a succession of membership, say, from 1900 through today? It's not really there. It's speculated, but it's not really there. So when I went to research originally with Coleman's book, I was excited at first to see all the, you know, the tips and the leads that I might have for research. So I thought this would be a gold mine. You know, you got to get a lot of leads out of this one and go find out some good stuff. But I had to continuously try to verify the information with independent sources, and I had a lot of difficulty in doing that. So I was very cautious ultimately. I haven't ever really cited Coleman's work in any of my writings for that very reason. And it's not to say, you know, throw the bum out at all, but it's just that if I can't verify the sources personally, I have to basically leave them on the table for somebody else to deal with.
So do you think there's any credibility in what he's writing about or not?
Well, there's a lot of credibility in the sense that many of the things that we've talked about, like the Club of Rome, like the Atlantic Council, like the Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies, all those things are absolutely verifiable. That's out there. There's a large amount of writing and research journalists and stuff, of investigative journalists have dug into this kind of stuff. Authors have dug into it. There's tons of stuff out there that he addresses in his book. Unquestionably, it's true. But some of the stuff, you know, some of the things that cannot be documented from his book, you have to kind of scratch your head and wonder, well, where did he really hear this stuff? I mean, if he did hear it, isn't there some way that I can hear it too, or see some reference in history? Maybe in a history book, maybe in a newspaper somewhere from 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. I look for those kinds of things. That's just the way I do research.
Yeah. So, Leo, how many people do you think are running the world? Is it 300? Is it 3,000? I mean, what do you think?
It's a small number, but I have no earthly idea. And if I could just follow up on some of what Patrick was talking about, this writer, this author, Dr. John Coleman, he himself presents us with a bit of a mystery. Neither Patrick nor I were able to find a detailed full biography of the man. I couldn't find a full obituary anywhere for him. So he's sort of this mercurial figure that's out there that has some truth, but then he also delves into the realm of speculation, which he does not really back up with any documentation, as Patrick noted. So, I mean, we have to consider the possibility that he could have written this book as a psyop. maybe to put some of the truth out there. Like our intelligence agents would call this a limited hangout, okay, where they provide us with some of the truth, enough to sort of distract us and pique our interest, but just enough to divert us away from the core of the truth. And that could have been, I'm not saying that's what the book is, but we have, because this gentleman is so mysterious, we have to consider that that's a possibility.
Look at this headline here. This is coming from the Chattanooga Free Press. This is back in December of 2020. Chattanooga is one of two cities to join Smart City Alliance. Two cities were chosen to participate in a global initiative to test the new technologies and policies for a more sustainable and equitable cityscape. Also joining in the pilot project is San Jose, California. I'm just finding this out today. It's in my state, but it's the other end. Chattanooga has been selected as one of only two U.S. cities in a new global initiative to use broadband connections and data plan and utilize energy, transportation, healthcare, and communication in a more sustainable and equitable manner. During its Smart City Expo World Congress last month, the World Economic Forum announced Chattanooga and San Jose, California were picked among three dozen cities around the globe to pilot adoption of new technologies being developed by the G20 Global Smart City Alliance. And then we go to another one that is entitled Chattanooga Agrees to Adopt World Economic Forum Smart City Technology Roadmap. This is from a year ago. I wasn't aware of this, that Chattanooga, the other end of my state, was doing this. Is this the beginning, Patrick, of the 15-minute city? Is that what this is really, you know, kind of leading to?
It certainly speaks to it, Brannon. You remember in 2020, when this first came out, this WEF initiative, that was 1 year after President Trump had heralded the rollout of 5G technology throughout America. He said we have to beat China on this rollout. I don't know what China had to do with it, because what do we care about China? This is America. If they beat us, you know, okay, fine. But the whole idea of 5G technology was to enable the smart cities to come alive. It was to literally light up the Internet of Things, those devices that have embedded technology in them, to communicate back to a headquarters unit, machine, computer, whatever. And you know, the smart city, the 15-minute city, which is just kind of a mini model of a smart city. This all ties together, 100% ties together, and the WEF has been championing this smart city thing for a long time. This was not out of the blue. Oh, we're so surprised they'd come up with this. They've been working on this for a long time. The smart cities that bought into this, like Chattanooga, like San Jose, and there's been a few others, I think, since then, these cities are just buried. They're steeped in Internet of Thing technology, all being enabled by 5G technology.
Wow. Leo, let me get your response to this. This is an article here that just came out 9 hours ago. New immigration bill is a Trojan horse for E-Verify and is a threat to all Americans. This is, again, just 9 hours ago. Members of the U.S. House of Representatives are set to vote this week on new legislation that would greatly increase the federal government's power over private businesses, workers, and U.S. citizens. Unfortunately, much of the GOP majority is supportive of the legislation, the Border Security and Enhancement Act of 2023. Now, isn't that ironic, boys, that while we have this surge at the border, they offer up a bill called the Border Security and Enforcement Act of 2023, because everybody's going, yeah, that might be a good idea, fellas. And yet, what is this all about? Well, it does contain reasonable provisions, such as attorney generals giving them the authority to sue the federal government for refusing to detain illegal aliens. But then it goes on to add in the E-Verify. Let's read it. Here we go. It was initially implemented in 97, designed to prevent companies from employing foreign nationals who had entered U.S. illegally, illegal aliens. The program was never mandatory at the federal level. However, the program has generally been voluntary except for government employees in most states. Instead, mandated use of E-Verify has been a matter of state legislation, and some states have certainly been more enthusiastic about it than others. Since implementation, only 9 states have mandated the use of E-Verify for all employees. Florida is poised to be the next to impose these mandates on employers. Governor DeSantis has repeatedly pushed to further regulate this and surveil private business with Universal E-Verify. Some states, such as Colorado, have implemented alternative but similar state-administered programs. Well, as you read through this, you find out real quick that this could be turned on Americans. They have studied it, and they say, and they're quoting Ron Paul, who said, E-Verify almost certainly will be used for purposes unrelated to immigration. One potential use of E-Verify is to limit the job prospects for anyone whose lifestyle displeases the government. This could include those accused of failing to pay their fair share in taxes, those who homeschool or do not vaccinate their children, or those who own firearms. Unscrupulous government officials could use E-Verify against those who practice anti-war, anti-tax, anti-surveillance, and anti-Federal Reserve activism. Those who consider this unlikely should remember that the long history of the IRS targeting the political enemies of those in power and the use of anti-terrorism laws to harass anti-war activists. They should also consider the current moves to outlaw certain types of political incorrect speech, such as distributing the alleged consensus regarding climate change. Any of you want to comment on this? I think the timing of this collapse of our border, this being introduced, very interesting.
Yes.
Leo?
Yes. Classic Hegelian dialectic. Create the crisis, then come in with the solution, which was already designed ahead of time before you even created the crisis, knowing that now the public will latch onto it. Now the public will celebrate it because they don't want to be overrun. And so what happens is they'll continue to be overrun. And this is just another way to delve into our personal privacy. This will be used against American citizens to compromise their personal data, while the illegals, the ones that we're told that it's being put in place to stop, they will continue to run free and run wild without any tracking or tracing of their movement, of their or interception of their data. It's the same way with everything, Brandon. This is nothing but a chance to get in the real ID, ID 2020, and the digital ID all in one fell swoop.
Yeah, you want to comment on that? Do I need to let you go, Leo?
Yeah, I have another interview. I have to hop on here.
All right, leohoman.com. We'll let him cut loose. leohoman.com, leohoman.com. As always, thank you, Leo.
Thank you. Thanks, Brandon.
What are your thoughts here, Patrick?
I think 10 years ago, say 15 years ago, E-Verify had a certain definition in most people's minds. We were normalized to that definition. It wasn't very successful, I have to say, but people thought about E-Verify. Well, that means just, you know, that employers should check to make sure that they're actually hiring a citizen of America that's able to pay tax. They don't have a phony social security number, et cetera. And, you know, that made some sense back then, I'm sure, to most people. But today, E-Verify comes back up. Does it have the same definition? No, it doesn't. Do they want you to think it still has the same old definition? Yes, they do. Because it takes a good crisis to slip in these other elements that are kind of put down in the fine print, that don't put it right up front anymore. Oh, well, we're going to reinvigorate E-Verify, but this time we'll do it on a national basis. Yeah. And you'll do it with essentially a global ID system that will put a permanent ID on every person in the country, illegal or not. And this has been the goal of the globalists for a long time. We know that. The World Economic Forum, the United Nations, all of these different groups are working for a universal global ID that will stick with you from birth to death. Now, E-Verify is being used as a, as a surrogate to slip these other details in to get their agenda across. Mm-hmm. Leo's exactly right on this.
Technocracy.news, technocracy.news is Patrick Wood. Patrick has an article over on his website today. Let me set up the article. It's about the FDA approving, let me get the exact title here. FDA approves gene-edited pigs for human consumption. He embedded a little video on the article before he comments on it. Here, let's watch this little video.
Washington State University is working to use biotechnologies like gene editing to engineer traits in food animals that will improve their resiliency, improve their production efficiency, improve their welfare, and improve their health in order to be able to feed a growing global population. human beings have been modifying the DNA of animals for thousands of years. The modifications that are being made are naturally arising modifications. The reason that we wanted to go through FDA approval with these animals is to show, as an example, that we can start with a basic discovery in the research lab. We can develop it as a utilizable tool into a food animal, and then we can advance it through the regulatory process. We expect the sausage that will be made from these animals to have no difference in its taste or its texture or its nutrient properties compared to a non-genome edited animal.
Okay, so what's wrong with that? I mean, they've been doing, without the technology, we've been having, basically doing breeding programs along the way to get a better, bigger cow, bigger bull, better horse, better dogs. What's the problem with the gene editing?
Well, this comes from the University of Washington.
The state of Washington, you're like red flags.
I know, it's a red flag. And secondly, this particular article, I hesitated to post this article because it was so full of misstatements and misleading ideas. And I warned people at the top, in my comments on it, be careful with this. Keep a discerning eye as you read through this. For instance, one statement that they make in here, gene editing is a modern cutting-edge technology that works only within a species. DNA can make changes that could come about naturally or through traditional breeding practices. This is pure nonsense. To say that CRISPR technology only works within a given species is absolutely stupid. It's just flat out misleading. DNA can be taken from any other species and inserted in a transgenic, synthetic DNA type of situation where you can take genes from other species and fire them into like the pig, and you've got something new. And they're passing this off as being, well, it's really just like we're doing natural selection, like old-fashioned breeding where you cross the pansies in the laboratory and you get a white one and a black one and it's a red one or whatever. That's absolute nonsense, Brandon. These people are trying to sneak this in as part of their overall plan to change all genetic material on planet Earth. And they're racing with this now. This is the second instance where the FDA has ever approved a GMO'd meat for public consumption. It's not broad-based, but now Pandora's box has been opened, the slippery slope has been greased, and you can see where this is headed. Everything will come up sooner or later as being genetically modified for the good of the world so that they can feed all the people in the world, like it's their responsibility to feed the people of the world. I'm really, it really disturbs me that a university like University of Washington would engage in a program like this and then try and sell it to the public on the absolute thinnest veneer of mistruth. And a lot of people are going to believe this and say, oh, this is wonderful. This will really help mankind, blah, 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 blah. It's very dangerous thinking. It's very dangerous technology. And I wish there was some way we could just throw a monkey wrench into it right now.
Absolutely. I'm sure you know who Peter Singer is, right? Isn't he supposed to be like an ethicist or something at one of the Ivy League schools? I write about him in my book, Grave Influence. Peter Singer, who teaches ethics at Princeton University, makes this clear, quote, "Christianity is our foe. We must destroy the Judeo-Christian religious tradition," end quote. That's Peter Singer. I got to tell you, he's in the news again. Mm-hmm. In this book of mine, I go on, we can pull that down now. I thought I had more quotes by Singer. But in this book on Peter, in which I quote Singer over and over, here we go. Here it is right here. Found it. Peter Singer, who from his platform at Princeton University has influenced many educators, students, and lawmakers, asserts in Rethinking Life and Death. Listen now, because he's in the news. Human babies are not born self-aware or capable of grasping their lives over time. So they're not self-aware. They are not persons. Hence, their lives would seem to be no more worthy of protection than the life of a fetus. Peter Singer also used his Down syndrome babies as an example of how his plan would work. Quote, we may not want a child to start on life's uncertain voyage if the prospects are clouded when this can be known at a very, very early age or stage in the voyage. We may still have a chance to make a fresh start. This means detaching ourselves from the infant who has been born, cutting ourselves free before the ties that have already begun to bind us to our child have become irresistible. Instead of going forward and putting all our effort into making the best of the situation, we can still say no and start again from the beginning. Of course, that's Peter Singer. And of course, he was influenced by Charles Darwin. I bring that up because I don't know if you saw this or not, Patrick. He is back in the news. I didn't know the dude was still living. He's getting to be up there about as old as Moses. But here's what we see at Yahoo News. Peter Singer, can we morally kill artificial intelligence if it becomes self-aware? Now, remember, he claims babies aren't self-aware, so you can kill them. He says, all things being equal, we should not switch it off if it has become self-aware. Okay, killing a child who's not self-aware, okay. Killing a AI who is self-aware, no.
Crazy, absolutely crazy. You know, all of these initiatives that we're talking about here, whether it be gene editing and trying to change the genetic structure of food or people, or to mess with people directly like through eugenics, or to mess with nature, through trying to change the climate or trying to change what's in the skies and so on with the geoengineering. All of these things, if you think about them, Brannon, are sticking a finger in God's eye vis-a-vis his creation. These are all things that are pitted against the creation of God, the way he laid things out in scripture very clearly. They want to go do just the opposite. So it's really amazing that these people generically deny intelligent creation or an intelligent creator. But they now say that because they have invented these new tools to control, to edit genes, et cetera, that they are now the intelligent designers of the future world. They've set themselves up literally to become God themselves. And this is something I think is really missed, because as people just look at one individual little segment of what's going on, they're not going to see this bigger picture. But by and large, anything to do with the creation is under intense attack today by these people that we're talking about.
You mentioned seeding the weather. Didn't you just mention seeding the weather or something about the weather?
Yes, geoengineering.
Geoengineering. Did you see that lady on The View about 3 weeks ago or whenever that was?
I don't know that I did.
I just came across it the other day. Yes. This is I guess she's a meteorologist. Listen to a little bit. See if I can
find
it. Days
around the corner, a time when
more
what they've been saying. We're in it. So shocked isn't the word. What I've had to do is reframe my own brain. I went to school to forecast the weather 7 to 20 days out. Meteorology, as I've known it, I used to be a conservative forecaster. The computer models used to barely verify, but they would always kind of oversell things. So I would always be like, I'm going to go under. In the last 5 years, I have noticed a remarkable difference that they not only verify, but they surpass. Oh. So I've had to, in the way that I describe what's going to happen, believe myself.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to see if I can skip through, because somewhere in here, here we go. See if this is it.
This story we've known for a long time, because the federal government gave a grant. The state of Louisiana rebuilt this new town called New Isle, about 40 miles north, for these folks. They're members of the Choctaw and the Houma tribes.
Yep. No, that's not
but
it.
But climate change, Brad Udall of Colorado State Fire, of what's happening that I studied in school for meteorology. Well, guess what? When you get desperate and then technology gets better, 20 years later, here we are. Cloud seeding is ramping up so big. You see me there showing that flare on the plane. They send silver iodide into the clouds, and then it makes it snow more.
Oh, wow.
So they can't make a cloud, right? But they're taking storms that are already there and then giving it a little boost. So this is not, that part's not new. What's new is they have hundreds of these ground cloud seeders. So they're actually puffing the silver iodide with a flare. And you see, I think I have a picture of the actual ground cloud seeder into the air. That thing sits all over the Rocky Mountains, all over the American West. 10 states are doing this. Yeah. And I wanted to tell this story because my friend Russ is the state climatologist of Colorado. And he said, you got to see what's happening with cloud seeding. Yeah. It is huge and it's only getting bigger by next year.
Okay. Fascinating that that's on The View. So this is not right-wing conspiracy theories. Whoopi told us. Whoopi reported that to us.
I know. If we had said such a thing, we would have been banned from everywhere probably within 10 minutes. But they've got away saying it. And it's really much worse than what she's describing there. There's a lot of other things that are happening that have been outed, so to speak, in the last 5 to 10 years. But weather modification, intentional weather modification, by changing the upper atmosphere, reflecting the sunlight back into space so that it cannot heat the Earth like it's supposed to. You see, this is a disturbance of a system that God set up with the creation of the world in the first place, basically saying, leave it alone, it will do just fine for you. That's not good enough for these people. If they don't like the amount of sunlight coming down on the Earth, well, hey, let's just throw up a screen up there. And we'll put a big shade up in essence, and we'll reflect all that heat back out in space. We don't need that. We need to cool our Earth. Of course, this will bring famine. It will bring all kinds of geographical, geological problems as well. But this is another attack. Geoengineering is another attack on God's creation to try and disrupt the normal operation of things as he set it in place in the first place.
Wow. Patrick Wood, his website, technocracy.news, technocracy.news. As always, Patrick, you're a very knowledgeable man. You never know where we're going to go in an interview. We don't really rehearse it. And you not only flowed with it, you brought all this new information to the table. Very knowledgeable. Thank you, Patrick.
My pleasure, Brianna. Thank you.
Patrick Wood checking in. Check out his website, technocracy.news. All right, before we go, why don't you check this out right here? We're brought to you by you, MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free, but you got to use the promo code B66. We have slippers, sandals, and slides as low as $19.50. That's a great Mother's Day, Father's Day gift, graduation gifts. Luxurious Giza Dream Sheets as low as $29.98. Those make great wedding gifts. Gifts for open houses for the graduate who's off to college. The My Mattress Topper 3-inch coil. Check it all out at MyPillow.com. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. But you got to use the promo code B66. That way you get savings, we get credit. Let's go over real quick. WVWTV.com. That's my channel where we store all my stuff. WVWTV.com. You'll see last night's news broadcast, Worldview Report, right there. My interview last night with Nicole Pearson, the U.S. farmers having land stolen for CO2 carbon capture scam. Pastor Art Pawlowski charged as a terrorist for preaching the truth. And then you'll see all the other shows I carry. Dan Eastman, Rob Lindstedt, Dr. Andy Woods, so many more. You'll see all my interviews from last week, and we just keep archiving them. Click right there, view all TV shows, keep going down the page, and it just keeps going and going and going. And you can watch them for free at WVWTV.com. Do you know my bandwidth bill for letting you guys watch this? I now found out, I thought it was $11,000. I now found it's up to $12,000 every month just to push out free programming like this for you to watch for free on my site. Cost me $12,000 over at WVWTV.com. If you appreciate that I put all this out for free and not behind a paywall, like so many do, where you can only see it if you buy the paywall, then please consider a contribution, WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. Let me take you there real quick. There it is, WVWFoundation.com. Please consider a contribution. You can also use our mailing address. You'll find it there on our website, WVWFoundation.com. Please consider making a contribution if you would. We appreciate that. All right. Don't forget also, we'll be back, Lord willing, tomorrow, 1:00 Central Time, right here. And we look forward to talking to you then. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.